Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to FinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week begins right here, right now, live on a Monday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. And thank you for joining us today all across the Sports Grid network. And that includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. DRS, what a weekend it was. A holiday weekend around Turkey Day. We hope everybody out there had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And you are back now into the role as we start off this new week. DRS, Turkey Day is all about family, food, and football, and that continued this weekend. The Sunday slate, week number 12 of this National Football League regular season, and the finale of the regular season in college football on this Saturday as well. A ton to recap and review, Donnie, as we start off this new week live right here on a Monday.
Fantastic. I mean, Thanksgiving, then Thursday, then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Unbelievable football action, whether you love college football, whether you love the NFL, if you love both. It was awesome endings all the way through. And even on the Sunday ticket, you're looking and saying, like, there's a couple good games here. But, boy, the two top games absolutely delivered in their time slot at 1 o'clock with Jacksonville and then at 4 o'clock with the Eagles and the Buffalo Bills. Fantastic stuff across the board. Can't wait to get caught up on it.
That marquee matchup yesterday, DRS, at the link, the gauntlet for Philadelphia, the three games surrounding thereby, a victory at home in the divisional duel against the Dallas Cowboys, then that open weekend, then a Monday night trip to Kansas City, Philadelphia victorious, and here in week number 12, what a game it was against the Buffalo Bills. Back and forth all game long. It was rainy. It was sloppy. It was wet at Lincoln Financial. But in overtime, Philadelphia emerges. Just one loss this year, Donnie. 37-34 in OT, the highest scoring game of week number 12. The Eagles now, Donnie, the best record continuously in the NFL. 10-1 for Philadelphia. They even cover as a slight 2.5-point favorite. Let's welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience here quickly to start off this new week. It's a Monday on TEL, Sirius XM, channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold. I am Ben. He is Donnie. In the Philadelphia Eagles, the reigning NFC champions, are the best team in the National Football League. A 10-1 record after a 37-34 victory in overtime yesterday, Donnie, over the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, what a fun football game. You had Josh Allen, who actually went nuclear in that game, and the Buffalo Bills still came up a little bit small. Jalen Hurts was phenomenal in that second half. Questionable calls throughout the game, as well as blocked field goals. You had questionable decisions. You had unbelievable 59-yard field goals in wind and rain when it mattered the most. This game had everything you needed, which means the Philadelphia Eagles and their supremacy in the NFC East is going to stay. But you can't look at the Buffalo Bills and say, well, yeah, they're just not a playoff team. The Buffalo Bills still, I believe, will be in the playoffs. That's a game they had wrapped up multiple times, Ben, and let it slip through their fingers. But it wasn't because of their offense and Joe Brady and making the change from the OC and Josh Allen blaming it on him. The defense didn't step up when it needed to. Now, we knew it was banged up. We'll talk about it a little bit more later, but Josh Allen was phenomenal yesterday. No way he should have had a loss in that one.
DRS, both quarterbacks running it into the end zone with their own two legs twice. Josh Allen, four total touchdowns, 420 total yards. Jalen Hurts, 200 through the air, 65 on the ground in that game-winning score in the extra session. Jason Kelce pulling and leading a key block with a pancake, and Jalen Hurts scampers into the end zone from 12 yards out. Philadelphia, 37-34 in OT. The Birds, DRS, cover as a 2.5-point favorite, not only 10-1 straight up this year, also 6-2-2 against the spread as the favored side. Sunday Night Football in SoFi, out in Los Angeles, the Chargers and the Ravens. Donnie, a line that made you think the Bolts were going to be competitive, and in classic LA fashion, they had the football under 2 minutes, down by a field goal with an opportunity to drive down the field and maybe even win the football game. They come up short. They go for it on fourth down near midfield. They do not convert. The Ravens pay it off with a Zay Flowers rushing touchdown. And Baltimore keeps that best record in the AFC, Donnie. The Flock now 9-3, 20-10, the victory yesterday in Los Angeles. The Ravens covering as a three-point road favorite.
Scan the box score. 4 turnovers, Chargers, 0 for the Baltimore Ravens. That tells the story right there. You're not going to win football games when you lose the turnover battle, even like 2-1 here, let alone 4-0. Lamar Jackson did enough in this football game. Herbert did not do enough in this football game, but that is a big win for the Baltimore Ravens, Ben. Once again, as we like to say, if the season ended today, all roads in the AFC go through the charm city of Baltimore. That's a big road win for the Baltimore Ravens.
We'll look at the overall outlook from the odds as well in just a few moments. But Donnie, a huge matchup in the AFC South between divisional foes Houston and Jacksonville. The Jags in H-Town, and they hold off the Texans despite everything the young rookie C.J. Stroud tried to do late in that fourth quarter. 24-21, the victory for the Jags. They cover, Donnie, as a slight 1.5-point road favorite.
I mean, sensational from both sides here. Lawrence goes for 364. Stroud goes for 304. And the thing I love about the Houston Texans is, look, they sit at 6-5 on the season, which is more wins than I thought they would get this year, to be honest. Right. But every single football game they play, and even if it's close, I'm expecting C.J. Stroud to do big, ridiculously big things in big moments here. What a great quarterback, but this is why the Jacksonville Jaguars, for me, were picked as division champions before the season started. There's just too much talent across the board. Doug Peterson, a Super Bowl winning coach. These are games you're supposed to win. And how about this? The Jacksonville Jaguars, 5-0 on the road this season. Big time win for the Jags.
A 2-game advantage for Jacksonville as well now in the AFC South. DRS from the NFL back to Saturday in college football. Not just a game, but the game. Hail to the victors for a third consecutive year. The Michigan Wolverines winning at home inside the Big House, 30-24 over Ohio State. The Maize and Blue covering as a 3.5-point favorite. And for a third straight year, Donnie, with all the atmosphere, the conversation, the hatred surrounding the sign-stealing scandal in Ann Arbor. Many in Ann Arbor feeling it was led by those in the scarlet and gray. Ohio State comes up short once again, and Michigan ends another perfect season. A perfect 12-0 with their third straight victory over their biggest rival.
Game lived up to everything we wanted to see here. And it was almost like a throwback to the 1990s at this point, where it wasn't just dependent on 5 wide receivers and a quarterback throwing 75 times a game. Both of these teams came in with incredible defenses. Both game plans looked like they were executing here. And it just came down to Michigan was the better football team. Before the game started, I thought Michigan was better. Did Ohio State have a chance to win and cover? Sure they did. But this is what Michigan does, man. Get down and dirty, run the football when you need a play for them. 22 carries, 88 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He finds the end zone every single week. Michigan moves on here to the Big Ten Championship.
22 rushing scores for Blake Corum. Michigan will face off against Iowa as a 21-point favorite on Saturday in Indianapolis with their third consecutive Big Ten title at stake. DRS, there is something about the Iron Bowl, especially when it is played on the plains of Auburn inside Jordan-Hare Stadium. The miracle for the Tide. Back corner of the end zone, Jalen Milroe on fourth and goal from the 31-yard line. Yes, the 31-yard line finds Isaiah Bond. Alabama survives 27-24.
It never should happen. And we'll get to our winners and losers a little bit later in the show. But for your defensive coordinator to put a spy on a play where the quarterback has no chance to run, what are we doing, Auburn? But my goodness, the Iron Bowl, as I put on Saturday, God bless it, because it is phenomenal every single year. I love it.
5-7, but plenty more college football reaction coming later. Back to the NFL up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
For two consecutive weekends in the National Football League, the defending NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles have played in what feels like the game of the year. Last week, week number 11, on a Monday night in Arrowhead, the Birds go into KC, knock off the defending Super Bowl champions in a Super Bowl rematch and a potential Super Bowl preview to improve to 9-1. And yesterday, Donnie, at Lincoln Financial Field in week number 12, in the Kelly Greens, back at home on a wet and sloppy Sunday, the Eagles emerge in overtime, 37-34 over Buffalo, even covering as a 2.5-point favorite. The Birds now, Donnie, the best record still in the National Football League, 10-1 is the mark for Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia. DRS as a favorite, 6-2-2 against the number. They were an underdog in Arrowhead, an outright victory means they cover as well, 7-2-2 ATS. So, Donnie, the best overall record and one of the best cover percentages outright in the NFL this year. It seems to me the Philadelphia Eagles are the best team in the National Football League.
They are. The record says what you are, and I love the fact that you'll still get, and even yesterday while the game was going on, I love X because it's fantastic stuff to watch everybody writing in like, so why the 49ers are the best team and the Eagles just can't do this, as if you haven't watched them before. We used to go through this with Kansas City. Like, if Kansas City was down 10 points, would you ever shut the game off? Like, no, it's Patrick Mahomes. You know they're coming back. And by the way, yesterday, down 14 points, Kansas City, we'll get to it later, with a nice comeback victory. But the Philadelphia Eagles, around that MO now, down multiple scores here, it doesn't matter. Down 10 points at the half, back-to-back. You're down 10 points at the half to Kansas City and Kansas City. You're down 10 points to the Buffalo Bills at the half at home, looking terrible. You're supposed to lose both of those football games, and the Eagles won both of those football games because their quarterback is extremely clutch. I tweeted out a little bit earlier today, and I said to myself, you know what? Let me go back and just see what Jalen Hurts' record is. 14-1, I believe it was, over his past, 15 games, 27-2 over his past 29. It's outrageous. And all of these multiple comeback victories here, and that goes to show you being unflappable in the biggest moments. You're in the rain yesterday. You had to come back multiple times, which included an overtime. You had 4 minutes on the clock while on your own 25-yard line. You march it down the football field. It ends with a quarterback keeper from 12 yards out. Sensational all the way through. If you're an NFL fan, you watch that game. It delivered in every aspect. Do you like yards? You got it. Do you like points? You got it. Do you like exciting plays? Do you like controversial calls? Because also keep in mind, boy, oh boy, late in that football game, A.J. Brown catches an in route here, doesn't get the third foot down, and it's one of those plays where even Gene Steratore came on and goes, you know what, I think it's incomplete. If that ball had been ruled a fumble on the field, I don't know if they would have been able to overturn it at that point. It could have gone either direction, but there were so many of those plays that happened where the Philadelphia Eagles did need to win, including that 59-yard field goal. A lot of breaks went the Eagles' way, but you can't just say that they're a lucky football team. They continuously win these football games. It's not luck. You have to be in position to actually get that luck and be a good football team, which the Eagles are.
You find your ways to win football games. Yes, some controversial calls like a non-horse collar earlier on in regulation against Josh Allen when Hassan Reddick was ripping him down to the ground that led to an intentional grounding on Buffalo that led to a blocked field goal. A lot of very interesting calls yesterday at the link. There is no doubting that. But the actual football that was played was tremendous. And DRS, that 59-yarder from Jake Elliott with just 20 ticks remaining in regulation to send the game to overtime in the conditions on a wet and muddy and slippery field at the link from 59 yards out on a cold, wet, and windy day in Philadelphia. One of the best field goals I had ever seen. And Philadelphia takes advantage in overtime. Jalen Hurts into the end zone for the second time. 5 total touchdowns for Hurts yesterday. 3 through the air, 2 on the ground. Josh Allen, 4 total touchdowns, 420 total yards. Donnie, I think if you are a Buffalo Bills backer, despite the fact the Bills are now 6-6 straight up this year, they are outside the playoff mix by a half game in the AFC wildcard race at this moment, and it's a plus 360 price, you still feel pretty good about where Buffalo is because the teams in front, boy, do they look shaky that currently hold on to those positions in the AFC playoff race. And Donnie, Joe Brady in his 2 games after the dismissal of Ken Dorsey as the offensive coordinator in Buffalo has looked pretty good. And Josh Allen is playing his best football of the year. I still think there can be some positivity, for the Bills. But the odds not necessarily stacking up with that, Donnie, when you look at Buffalo because they have dug themselves this hole. 6-6, they'll enter the bye. they're two games out of the bye on the road in Arrowhead against Kansas City, back at home against Dallas. Only five more games for Buffalo. Very little margin of error, DRS, for the Bills.
No, there isn't. And also, the way I'm putting this path out, because you're right, it's one of those where you say, well, Bills can't make the playoffs, they're 6-6. And then you say, you're right, Ben. Take a look at all these teams that are in a logjam. If you can get a split for the Buffalo Bills between Kansas City and Dallas, I do think they're going to make the playoffs and sneak into that 6 or 7 spot. They're that talented. Yesterday was a tough beat for them. I mean, it really was. They should have won that football game. And then you say, okay, now we can afford to lose, I guess, to Kansas City. And then we'll circle the wagons, as we like to say, and we'll beat the Dallas Cowboys at home. But they still do have to split both of those games. If they win both, certainly they'll be in. If they lose both, I don't think they can make the playoffs, but they're too talented not to have a chance to win. And also, as you said, coming off the bye week, you're going to need a few days here to get over that Philadelphia Eagles loss. That's not one of those like, hey, let's just show up to practice on Wednesday like nothing happened. Get that out of your system, rest up, get practice in, you should be fine. And also yesterday, finally, Gabe Davis, 6 catches, 105. We've been waiting to see this guy all season long. I think there was a statistic, Ben, that popped up during the football game. Like, he didn't have a catch the past two games, barely targeted, and here he's making big play after big play. And by the way, maybe the biggest play of the football game that wasn't made, that third down play where Gabe Davis had 4 or 5 steps on Darius Slay and just a miscommunication, that ball should have fluttered into the end zone as a touchdown pass and Buffalo wins as the walk-off winner, and didn't happen. A lot of things Buffalo could have done in that game to shut the door. They just weren't able to do it, but a fun game nonetheless. But still, hey, Buffalo Bills backers, you're going to get into the playoffs and you still might be able to do some damage.
The Bills have only been an underdog twice this year, on the road in Cincinnati, on the road yesterday in Philadelphia. Yes, they are 0-2, both straight up and against the number, but that shows you the pedigree of Buffalo. Outside of the visit to Kansas City, Donnie, Buffalo will be booked as a favorite in every one of their games to finish off the year, except maybe week 18 in Miami against the Dolphins, but that game could look a lot different if Miami is in that pole position for the AFC East, as it seems they are right now, a minus 1,100 favorite to win that division. Same price for Philadelphia. In the NFC East, the Birds have that two-game advantage over Dallas. The Cowboys, though, tied for that second-best record in the NFC at 8-3. Sunday Night Football, DRS, at SoFi Stadium in downtown L.A. A similar story for the Chargers, and the Baltimore Ravens continue to keep pace atop the AFC. Now 9-3 for the flock. They go into Los Angeles. They win 20-10. They cover as a 3-point road favorite. Donnie, for the Bolts this year, the fourth time as an underdog last night against Baltimore. 0-4 against the spread as a dog. They are 1-5 straight up against teams with a winning record. For Baltimore, 9-3 the overall record, 7-4 ATS as a favorite this year. It was really, Donnie, the story that we have seen for these two clubs in the past few years on display here in 2023.
Exactly. The Baltimore Ravens, we know, have a very good defense, and they leaned on that defense, forcing 4 turnovers against the Chargers. But the same thing, we get to the post-game press conference where Brandon Staley gets up there, and I know he's not supposed to say any different. Hey, we're right in the thick of things. We're just about, cross. You're 4-7 now. You continuously lose close football games by not making clutch plays at the end, which is a reflection of your head coach. When you look at the sideline in Philadelphia, Nick Sirianni is telling us, hey, guys, we can win this football game, and Jalen Hurts is telling you that. It resonates in the huddle because they do that. You can't just say, Brandon, Justin Herbert, hey guys, let's go out and win this football game, and everybody in the huddle rolls their eyes like, yeah, okay, sure, we'll try our best here, but we know how it ends up. 4-7, just not good enough here. But big on the Ravens, winning ugly is another W. You just don't have to be pretty every single week. That's a big time win on Sunday night on the road for the Ravens.
DRS, a total of 49. Another primetime game stays under last night. Only 10 points for L.A. Donnie, the Super Bowl 58 odds, very interesting. San Francisco, the favorite by 10 cents, plus 430 in front of Philadelphia and Kansas City. The Eagles, though, the favorites to win the NFC title at plus 180, 20 cents in front of the 49ers. Baltimore even behind Miami, an 8-1 price for the Fins, 9-1 for the flock. Plenty more Sunday slate reaction up next on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid, recapping the Sunday slate all around the National Football League. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for joining us here to start off this new week. So week number 12, Donnie, is one of those great weeks of football. Three games on Turkey Day, the triple header on Thanksgiving, the first ever Black Friday game between the Dolphins and the New York Jets, and then still a Sunday slate. In the early window, though, Donnie, the 1 p.m. Eastern time kicks, there wasn't all that many marquee matchups, perhaps, but we did see a great game play out in Houston, a critical game between the Texans and the Jaguars, trying to battle for that top spot in the AFC South division. And Jacksonville, Donnie, holds off Houston, 24-21, the Jags winning on the road and even covering as a slight 1.5-point favorite. Jacksonville now, Donnie, a 2-game advantage with an 8-3 record for that first place position in the AFC South.
Yeah, you figure they'll be running up on their own gauntlet as well, because you take a look at this Houston Texans game. You say, okay, if the Texans go in and win, that means they have the tiebreaker over the Jacksonville Jaguars by sweeping them for the season series. And then normally you'd look and say, well, wow, they're going to have to play, how about this, Cincinnati and also Cleveland in back-to-back games. Boy, sometimes it's when you play them is when it means most, because if you would have played both of those teams full gas, you're not getting away with a 2-0. Heck, you'd be lucky to even get a split in those games if you're Jacksonville. Now it looks like you're going to be a prohibitive favorite because both of those teams are really challenged at the quarterback position. But talking about the quarterback position in this football game, man, Trevor Lawrence, 364, one touchdown, did throw an interception, a passer rating of 90, stepped up in some of the biggest moments in that game. And even if Travis Etienne gets hammered early in that game with that sternum injury, comes back to play, but it clearly wasn't as effective as we thought he would be. C.J. Stroud was tremendous in that football game, throwing for over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Nico Collins, 7 catches for 104. They did everything they needed to win that football game, but Jacksonville was just a little bit better controlling pace in that football game. And as you brought it up, this one to me before the game started really was a coin flip. But I was just saying, okay, I had Jacksonville to win the division. If I'm going to say Jacksonville's still going to win the division, they have to win the this football game, and they got it when they needed it here. Made the plays and also some timely sacks on that final drive here that CJ Stroud just couldn't make up for. And also, it is a game of inches, man. That 58-yarder was launched up in the air, and from the angle we saw it hit the crossbar, but you don't know from that angle if it bounces through or not. Another inch, another rotation of the football. We're headed to overtime, and who knows how it would have turned out. Sensational game in the 1 p.m. window. Houston Texans, nothing to hang your hat on there and be in shame, because you're going to go to the playoffs still. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, DRS, when you think about C.J. Stroud, he was on track to lead his third consecutive game-winning drive in as many games, or at least game time, to send it into regulation if the field goal would have been good. He was scrambling yesterday, DRS, a rushing touchdown as well, 3 total touchdowns for the rookie, more than 300 passing yards, as Donnie just mentioned. Started off that drive, Houston got the ball back with about 3 minutes left at their own 11-yard line with a scramble. He was the Texans, that being C.J. Stroud, leading rusher yesterday, 47 yards on the ground, and he's not necessarily a dual threat. We didn't see him do that at Ohio State or really early on here in his National Football League career, but using the legs when it mattered most. But 2 sacks, Donnie, on that final drive. You can't really blame C.J. Stroud. It's not like he held on to the ball too long. But those are the differences, perhaps, for a rookie quarterback and maybe later on as a veteran in his NFL career. 2 sacks on that final drive for a total of minus 24 yards that allowed it to be a 58-yard field goal for Matt Amendola. Don't forget, the kicker they signed just a few weeks ago after the injury to Kaimi Fairbairn. But it wasn't like he missed by much, Donnie, with 34 ticks left. The 58-yarder hits squarely, I mean dead center, on that crossbar, just a couple of feet away from going over and setting the game into OT. But Donnie, Jacksonville this year, you mentioned their road record, also 6-1 against the number as a favorite. The Jags are 8-3 straight up. They have covered in all 8 wins, and now they have that 2-game advantage in the AFC South over Houston and Indianapolis. The Colts are 6-5 as well, Donnie, but you can see the margin, at least according to the odds outlook in that division. Jacksonville, a minus 1,000 favorite.
Yes, and they should be here. They're the better football team overall than the Houston Texans. Now, the Texans would have had a lot to say about who's the better overall football team had they won yesterday, meaning, again, they would have swept the season series. I'm looking for Jacksonville to probably close this out, but, again, getting a little bit lucky. You should be Jacksonville, like, whew, thank goodness we got through that. Now we have two tough games. Now, granted, it's still an NFL opponent. Cleveland still has a solid defense here. Cincinnati does have some weapons at wide receivers, so it's not like walkover games. But if you would have told me, hey, Cleveland's going to come in full gas, the same thing with Cincinnati, then the Houston Texans would be like, hey, you know what? We're still only two games back in two games. We might be evened up here with the Jacksonville Jaguars again, but I don't think that's going to be the case. Jacksonville yesterday, to me, won that division, and rightfully so, a big-time win on the road against a division team.
Technically, because of this moment, the Texans don't have the head-to-head tiebreaker over Indianapolis. The Colts would be the seventh and final AFC playoff team. But there's a couple of teams at 6-5, including the Denver Broncos, who we'll talk about in just a little bit. From the AFC South, Donnie, in the battle for that top spot, to the same story in the NFC South, but it's not with a winning record or a few games above 500 or even 500. It's with a losing record right now, the Atlanta Falcons, with a win yesterday on the road in the Big Easy over the Saints, hold on to that first place spot. Atlanta, a victory 24-15, the game in the ATL. My apologies there, but still a 24-15 win for the Falcons. They win outright as a 1.5-point underdog. DRS, you were all over Bijan Robinson. Finally used correctly yesterday. Your best bet on PFT over 52.5 rushing yards. He had 91 on the ground, a rushing score, 32 more yards receiving, and a touchdown there. 123 scrimmage yards, DRS, for Bijan Robinson yesterday in two total touchdowns.
Yeah, it's amazing it took this long into the season to say, hey, you know what? We have an electric running back. Let's use him and make him our primary back. They did that yesterday, 16 carries for 91 yards and a touchdown. Also chipped in with a receiving touchdown as well. But if you are the New Orleans Saints, you got to look back in this game and say, okay, we got 300 yards passing out of Derek Carr. We ran for 148 yards on the ground. We had the pick six for Atlanta, which really set some things up in the wrong direction for them. But you can't lose these games. And early in the week, Ben, I was actually saying, okay, it's a good spot for New Orleans. Carr is coming back. I'm really not in love with Atlanta, but as the week went on here and the injuries started to mount here, particularly Marshawn Lattimore going to the IR, I said, why can't Atlanta win this football game coming off a bye at home? And Desmond Ridder wasn't spectacular. 13 of 21, 168, one touchdown, two interceptions. But the fact of the matter is you controlled the game on the ground with Bijan Robinson. Yeah. He ran for 228 yards on the ground, 5.6 yards per carry. And then New Orleans defense here, as I brought up on the show yesterday, Pro Football Today, has been a sieve on the ground that I think they would give up 228. No, I didn't, but I knew Bijan would have a good game here. Only 16 carries for that 91 yards, but every one of those needed here. That's a big-time win for the Atlanta Falcons, and whoever is going to win the NFC South, please step up outside of the Carolina Panthers.
DRS, for a second consecutive year, it looks like whoever wins this divisional title will do so perhaps with a losing record. The Falcons 3-0 in the division, despite only being 5-6 straight up. That very well could be the difference. But Donnie, when you think about that pick six, late in the first quarter, New Orleans driving, Jesse Bates picks off Derek Carr and takes it back 92 yards the other way. That was the only touchdown Derek Carr threw yesterday. In fact, the Saints did not score a touchdown. Five field goals for the rookie kicker, Blake Groupe. That the distinction yesterday. DRS, the Falcons now in that top spot, courtesy of the head-to-head tiebreaker. Atlanta and New Orleans will play each other in the Big Easy to end out this regular season, week number 18. That game could decide it, but at the moment, the Dirty Birds in even money, plus 100 favorite to win the NFC South. Elsewhere, Donnie, as we keep rolling through the Sunday slate, the Kansas City Chiefs back on track. Down 14-0, though, as a 9.5-point favorite against Las Vegas. In Las Vegas yesterday, it was the spark perhaps KC's offense needed. 31 points, DRS, finally scoring in the second half as well. 31-17, the win for Kansas City. That 31-point mark, DRS, ties their second most scoring output this year in 2023.
Yeah, I wasn't sure that Kansas City would be able to cover the double digits, but I was confident that they would win here. Andy Reid off a loss. He sort of reset the motion. They even had a couple guys down out of their backfield and the wide receiver position here, and it didn't matter. 298 for Patrick Mahomes, two touchdowns and no interceptions. On my Sell Me Something segment yesterday on Pro Football Today, it was Patrick Mahomes in a parlay to go over 256.5 passing yards and also throw at least two touchdown passes, and he did that yesterday. Yeah. But boy, oh boy. I mean, the chatter you could hear, 14-0 down early. The Chiefs really can't get it together. They stormed scoring back in a big way. Rashee Rice looks like he's now the leader in the clubhouse to be the top dog at the wide receiver position. And also, Travis Kelce, didn't see much of him the past couple weeks. Six catches, 91 yards here. The Chiefs were the better football team. It's a good, still good, hard-fought game for the Raiders. I know they want to win football games, but no shame in their game losing to the Dolphins and then the Kansas City Chiefs in back-to-back weeks here. You can't say the Vegas Raiders didn't put their best effort for it, up 14-0. They just don't have a lot of talent. And Max Crosby, even though he did get a sack yesterday, certainly wasn't 100%, but a nice win for the Kansas City Chiefs. As I said, Ben, they're going to run the table here and end up being the number one overall seed. That's one win there.
KC in Lambeau on Sunday night, this upcoming week, week number 13. They're booked as a 6.5-point favorite only against the Packers. I'm jumping on that line. I'm also taking the over of 42.5. DRS, some games in the AFC North. We start with the divisional duel between the Steelers and the Bengals. Pittsburgh, for the first time this year, Donnie, in their 11th game, outgains their opponent following the firing of offensive coordinator Matt Canada earlier this week. The returns look pretty good. Kenny Pickett, 278 passing yards. Najee Harris nearly at the century mark, 99 yards on the ground and a touchdown. And the Steelers storm back in the second half after being down 7-3 at the break. They win 16-10. Donnie, they cover as a 2.5-point road favorite.
It's what they do. By the way, if Joe Burrow plays in that game, they probably lose it. But again, Joe Burrow didn't play in the game, and they actually had a solid offensive performance. 278 for Pickett on the bell curve. What's that, 478 for an offense here? Steelers got a win they absolutely needed and got it done.
3-1 ATS for the Steelers as a favorite this year. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week 12 of the 2023 National Football League regular season. We'll continue to look back on the Sunday slate in the weekend that was in the NFL. Week number 13, though, of the 2023 college football campaign, the finale of the regular season around CFB. Still conference championship Saturday and conference title weekend perhaps on the horizon with a dandy out in the Pac-12 on Friday night in Las Vegas. But before we get there, Donnie, we look back one final time on the final weekend of the 2023 regular season in college football. Not just a game, but the game in Ann Arbor inside the Big House on Saturday afternoon. Michigan booked as a 3.5-point favorite against Ohio State. The Wolverines looking for their third consecutive victory over the Buckeyes. But Donnie, it's been your favorite topic in the world of sports over the past month. The sign-stealing saga in Ann Arbor. In all of the vitriol and hatred between these two fan bases and programs that is already there and always there, amplified by what we had seen for the Maize and Blue the last few weeks. No Jim Harbaugh on the sidelines. No matter for Michigan. 30-24, the victory for the Wolverines. Even covering, Donnie, as a 3.5-point home favorite. J.J. McCarthy wasn't sensational, but it was the ground game again. 88 rushing yards for Blake Corum, 2 rushing scores. He has 22 rushing touchdowns in 2023 alone as Michigan wins its third straight, Donnie, over Ohio State, 30-24 the final.
They've been the better football team all season long in the Big Ten than Ohio State. Ohio State had some nice wins against Penn State, but Michigan certainly did the same thing. But what did it come down in this game? Don't make the mistakes here. And J.J. McCarthy managed almost a perfect game. 16 of 20, 148 in the air, 1 touchdown, no interception. How about a QBR rate here? Not a pass rate, a QBR rate of 94.5, which means just about every single play, he made the right decision. And also, Blake Corum has been sensational. Usually your short yardage back, and my goodness, on short yardage, just give him the football. He finds a way to get first downs. Was it ultra impressive, 22 carries for 88 yards? No, but considering the defense he did it against and also the timely fashion that he got some of those runs to kill the clock and also have big touchdowns or third down conversions, yeah, he absolutely did that. But the one thing I did appreciate in that game, Blake Corum to get a touchdown, and also Marvin Harrison Jr. Now, there's a lot of people out here that'll say, well, why doesn't Ohio State just throw the football to Marvin Harrison Jr. every play? Yeah, it's a fantastic game plan against Bowling Green or somebody else or Ball State that certainly just can't match up. But Michigan has an elite defense here. If you did that, you would have saw Kyle McCord with 5 interceptions instead of 2 in that football game. I thought their offensive game plan was okay for Ohio State and using Harrison in big spots when they did. They're just not as talented as Michigan is across the board. It's also hard to win these football games on the road. There's 110,000 fans there that are rooting on Michigan. Yeah. Good win for the Michigan Wolverines. There's no shame in the game. And by the way, I'd love to say this too. Like Ryan Day, 56-7. And if you're an Ohio State fan, you're like, yep, got to move on from Ryan Day here. What are we talking about? You know, we did the same thing with Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. He can't beat Ohio State. Time to move on. These are two good football programs which come down to the final few moments here. Understandable. You want to beat your rival because if you do that, you're probably moving on to a national championship. But be careful what you wish for here. It's not all going to be Urban Meyer all the way across the board where you're just going to run roughshod on the college football establishment. Ryan Day is a really good football coach. He recruits extremely well. He has you in position to win national championships every year. And I love the fact that it's like, oh, he's the same as James Franklin. No, he actually wins football games to put himself in position to be in a national championship game. So I love the fire Ryan Day crowd because my goodness, how bad do you have at Ohio State?
But DRS, that's the difference. There is expectation in Columbus, unlike many other programs in college football, maybe outside of Tuscaloosa and Death Valley and Clemson, South Carolina, and now in Athens, Georgia, you expect to beat your bitter rival, and you expect by beating your bitter rival, you will win a conference championship and play in a college football playoff. Anything less is a disappointment. Ryan Day is now 56-7. Straight up as the head man in Columbus. He filled in for Urban Meyer twice in 2018 due to the health issues that Urban was experiencing, became the full-time head man in 2019. He is 56-7 straight up. All seven losses for Ryan Day against a ranked opponent. Only four of them coming in the regular season, which means three others in the college football playoff or a national championship game. But three of the four regular season losses, Donnie, have come in three consecutive seasons against Michigan. It's why, despite Jim Harbaugh resurrecting his alma mater when he lost five straight to start off his tenure as the head man in Ann Arbor, people were calling for his job because he was 0-5 against Ohio State. It's a different level of margin and expectation when you are the head coach. But I don't think it was Ryan Day's fault. I thought he called a good game. In-game adjustments, a little bit shaky, conservative at times, for sure. Kyle McCord, though, DRS, two costly interceptions. Despite throwing for 271, 118 of them to Marvin Harrison Jr., and a touchdown to MHJ as well. Those two interceptions, the difference. Michigan, 16 INTs as a team this year. Their opponents have only passed against them 209 total times, Donnie. It's the highest INT rate for any defense in college football this year. And the story, Donnie, amplified by the fact that Ryan Day was unable to not beat Jim Harbaugh, but not beat Sherrone Moore, who is a perfect now 4-0 as acting Michigan head coach. Once in the first suspension Jim Harbaugh served this season, and of course on Saturday and in the final three games of the regular season. Michigan a perfect 12-0 overall, a perfect 6-0 without Jim Harbaugh. In the cover yesterday, DRS in Big Ten play this year, the Maize and Blue 6-2-1 ATS against conference foes.
Yeah, maybe you should keep Jim Harbaugh on the sideline because it's apparent he has zero impact on game days, winning your biggest football games of the year without Jim Harbaugh on the sideline. Wouldn't that be crazy? But again, Saturday night, basically Michigan's going to roll in there, a little cannon fodder against Iowa and run roughshod. So we'll get back into the graces of getting used to coaching in big football games, if you want to call that a big football game Saturday night.
Hey, oh, welcome those Iowa Hawkeyes. A 22.5 point number with a total of 35.5. That is the Big Ten championship game in Indianapolis on Saturday night. By the way, Blake Corum, his anytime TD price on Saturday in the game was -180. It's -310 now, and there's only 35.5 points for that over-under. It should have been an automatic bet for everybody out there. Blake Corum is going to score if Michigan scores at least a touchdown in a game. So from the game, one of the, if not the best overall rivalries in sports and in college football, to the other one, the Iron Bowl. And Donnie, there is something about the voodoo and the weirdness that happens in the Iron Bowl at Jordan-Hare Stadium on the plains of Auburn, Alabama. Alabama, that is, the Crimson Tide, trying to remain with only one loss, perfect in SEC play, to play in a winner-take-all, it seems, SEC championship game this upcoming Saturday in Atlanta against Georgia. But you got to get past your rivals. And the Auburn Tigers, Donnie, after losing losing by 21 as a 25.5-point favorite two Saturdays ago at home against New Mexico State, the second largest upset of the entire year in college football. They gave the Crimson Tide everything they could handle. Under 4 minutes remaining in the fourth quarter, after a muff punt by Auburn, Alabama takes over in great territory. They're trying to drive. They're trying to win the football game. It comes down to a fourth in goal from the 31-yard line. Not a misprint, not misspoken. Fourth in goal from the 31-yard line. Jalen Milroe, with all the time in the world, steps back and finds Isaiah Bond in the back corner of the end zone for the miracle at Jordan-Hare. It gives Alabama the victory 27-24. The Tigers do cover as a 13.5-point underdog, but Donnie, what people will remember in this Milroe miracle-type game was that Alabama survived with a perfect SEC record in another outstanding Iron Bowl played at Jordan-Hare.
Yeah, and it would have taken maybe a little bit of steam off of the SEC championship game the following week. So you love the fact that Alabama's rolling into that game with one loss. Georgia, absolutely perfect there. But the fact of the matter is, when you play in rivalry games, sometimes you can throw out the records. Look at the Apple Cup, you know, 16.5, 17-point favorite, barely winning that football game for Washington. You take a look here at Auburn, who should have won that football game. But I do get a kick out of this stuff, too. It's not as if Auburn came in and is like, hey, you know, let's change our stripes. Whoa, look at Thorne, 333 yards passing and three touchdowns. They can't pass the ball. Like, they're so offensively challenged and still were able to hang around with Alabama. When I say hang around, should have beaten Alabama when you knew every single play. Felt like yesterday a little bit in the Eagles game. If Josh Allen just runs the football, you can't stop him. It's like Peyton Thorne, snap the football. 1,000, 2,000. Hey, look, I'm going to run again. Here's an easy 10 yards, and away we go. The same thing there with a couple of the other running backs and also quarterbacks. Sensational ending to the football game, but it ends with an error there. You can't rush two players with a spy on the final play because that gives your quarterback a chance to roam around. He's not heated up in the pocket. You know what I would have done then? If you just wanted to run the two outside guys rushing there, have a delayed blitz by two linebackers in the middle because that would have thrown off the blocking assignment, made him roll around quicker than he wanted to. But he had a chance. And Tara, what? You have so many guys in the end zone that cover it like equally every 5 yards. It always amazes me that one guy gets one-on-one coverage out there. It's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, DRS, that was the story. Isaiah Bond goes up, but there was only one man around him for the Auburn Tigers in the back corner of the end zone. It's just Jalen Milroe had so much time. He threw for 259 yards, two touchdowns, ran for a 107 on the ground. He's had a sensational season. He's still 150-1 to win the Heisman Trophy. He's not going to win it, despite after the game saying, give me that Heisman, give me that mofo. We love the heat for Jalen Milroe. A big victory in the Iron Bowl. It sets up an SEC championship game for all the marbles, not just the conference championship between the Tide and the Bulldogs of Georgia, but maybe a spot in the college football playoff. The Bulldogs right now, a 5.5-point favorite. They survive in the clean old-fashioned hate rivalry that we'll talk about in just a moment against Georgia Tech. Elsewhere, Donnie, that Apple Cup, it always delivers. But for the final time as Pac-12 conference opponents, Washington survives against Washington State. As a 16.5-point favorite, it's a walk-off field goal for Grady Gross and the Huskies. 42 yards. You can see them celebrating it there. Donnie, not only a walk-off field goal for Gross, but in the post-game locker room speech, his head coach, Kalen DeBoer, gives him a scholarship as well. They got the ball back in Washington with under 2 minutes remaining in regulation. Michael Penix Jr., not the 300-plus yard passing game maybe we expected, only 204, two touchdowns and an INT, but to lead them down the field, Roma Dunze huge again. Washington ends a perfect regular season 12-0 with a victory in the Apple Cup.
Fantastic, too, because now it's going to set up a wonderful Pac-12 championship game. Now, the line might not reflect how wonderful it is here, but my goodness, from a perspective of Bo Nix trying to go out and win a Heisman, it looks even better when you knock off an unbeaten top four opponent as opposed to a team that lost a 16.5-point. Oh, they weren't that good enough to begin with. Credit Washington for continuing to win football games in sloppy conditions, and who's to say? Nobody's going to say they can't go out and beat Oregon. They've already beaten Oregon already this season, but just from an optic standpoint, it's wonderful for the Pac-12. By the way, Pac-12, I can't get back to this, Ben, enough. How did you ruin this? Like, this conference is set to explode with really good football teams over the next couple of years, and it's all going away in smoke and to the benefit of other conferences around you. One last banger, because usually for me, it's rooting against the Pac-12 and hopefully everybody has a loss so nobody can make it into this year, going like, man, they had a few teams that legitimately had chances to make the national championship. And if Oregon does get in, which I think they will, Oregon has a legit chance to win it, not just Ben,
no doubt,
cannon fodder like the Pac-12 usually would be.
Because Bo Nix, DRS, continues to stack up the numbers with his team success overall. Oregon's quarterback, Bodacious, the odds-on favorite at minus 180 to win the Heisman Trophy after another 300-yard performance and a couple of touchdowns in the Civil War against Oregon State on Friday. Plenty more conversation coming your way around CFB next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Running out this opening hour of a Monday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, I am Ben Stevens. He is Donnie Wrightside. DRS, even without Jordan Travis in the first game for Florida State, trying to have a perfect, undefeated regular season after their quarterback suffered a gruesome leg injury, a career-ending leg injury for him in college football at the very least, they played their final game in the Sunshine Showdown against the SEC foe in Florida, in Gainesville, in the Swamp, on Saturday night. Florida State booked as a 6.5-point favorite. They were down 12, Donnie, 12-0 early on in the opening half. But the Noles find a way to rally to stay undefeated in 2023's regular season. 24-15, Tate Rodemaker gets the start and fills in only 134 yards, Donnie. But the story, Trey Benson, the man you see on your screen, 95 rushing yards for the Noles and 3 rushing touchdowns. Florida State will enter the ACC title game this upcoming Saturday against Louisville as a favorite. And when they win, Donnie, they will play in the college football playoff.
Yeah, Louisville is horrendous, but they are our last hope as a nation to make sure Florida State stays out of the college football playoff so we can all enjoy a very good playoff as it may be. I understand that the college football committee's job is to put the best 4 teams in the college football playoff, and they're not going to do it. Take away the record from Florida State, and I preface this by saying, Ben, if Jordan Travis never got hurt, I welcome Florida State in with open arms. They can beat anybody out there because they've shown they can do that. I can't have Tate Rodemaker running around in here. What's it? Who was it? Autzen, like, you know, 20 years ago when they were going to try to play a national championship against Tennessee. Nobody wants to see Florida State without their starting quarterback here. They're not one of the top 4 teams in the nation. And I'm begging you, Louisville, if you're watching this program, and I know you do, please be America's team and knock out Florida State so we can all enjoy an awesome college football playoff, not Florida State getting hammered in round number 1 of the college football playoff. Keep them out, Louisville, please.
I'm pretty sure it was a young Donnie Wrightside at the beginning of this hour when discussing Philadelphia, the Eagles, saying your record is what it says you are. And Florida State,
Jalen Hurts is out,
We'll talk about Hurts to start hour 2 in less than a minute.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.